Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, JoJo White, Tiny Archibald, Joey Devine, Bob McAdoo, Marvin Bad News Barnes, Billy Knight, Sean Keen, Satch Sanders. Musical guest Nazareth. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock. And I am back this week with Sean Keen. My co-host, permanent co-host, Sean. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Just been just refreshing Kanye's Twitter feed all day.
I missed that entirely. I was not on the phone at all today, and I'm so glad.
Yeah, I actually did not follow it. I just saw that he said something about Drake having carnal relations with his wife.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Cool tweeting.
Yeah, love it. Sean, we got kind of a stacked show today. Should we just get to it?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go, baby.
I guess I should do the business part at the top.
Oh, right? Yeah. I guess that's right.
As always, thank you for listening. It's been a great year, I would say. We're coming up on the end of the year here, and it's been a really good one for us at Round Ball Rock, and it's because of you, the listeners. Mm-hmm. And we love hearing from you. We love reading your 5-star reviews. It's weird that iTunes only allows you to give 5 stars, but why would you want to give us anything else? We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. If we're not on your podcast player of choice, let us know and I'll try and get us on there. And you know how you let us know? By emailing us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Or on Twitter at RoundRockPod. Or you can always call us on the phone at 323-682-0342. And again, unfortunately, that phone number doesn't spell anything. So sorry, we can't make that easier for you. Sean, you watch any games tonight?
No, I did. I watched the second half of the Rockets and the Lakers.
Were you holding your arms behind your back the entire time?
I was, actually. I was also babysitting, and that's the main thing. He was whining a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. He was just like, oh, sorry, that's a foul. Why can't we watch Peter Pan? Why are you talking about how racist this cartoon is? The cartoon? Extremely racist cartoon, which mm-hmm. I had that had forgotten the extent of how racist it
is. I was hoping it was the live action one with where Hugh Jackman sings Nirvana.
Oh, the Pan movie. Yeah, full of songs, right?
I think there's only two songs. It's weird.
You know what else is weird about the animated Peter Pan? They have a dog that is employed as the governess, and there's a lot of physical comedy with that. They do not explain how that is at all possible. And I was just like, was that what the Edwardian era was like? Like fetishizing Native Americans and enslaving pets
for childcare? I think London is just more magical than Never Never Land. Because why would you want to go live in a weird place run by children when you can have an adorable giant dog take care of you?
Yeah, I mean, the dog is killing it, but also it feels weird that they're just refer to the dog as the governess, and there's not even a line where someone's like, hey, it's weird that we don't have a human being doing this job, and this dog is in human clothing for no reason.
There is one thing I will say. I think that dog would probably do a better job running the Chicago Bulls, like any dog, not just that dog.
No, but I think that specific dog would be like, that's what a young team needs, you know, like loyalty, trying to protect them, you know, occasionally barking at them, but not all the time. Yeah, there's no point where that dog makes the darling children sit down and watch videos of all their mistakes for hours.
Yeah. All right, that's enough intro. Right?
yeah, dude.
It went from let's get straight to it to talking about Peter Pan.
Yeah, don't let your children watch that movie.
Okay. So, let's start off with some reader mail, shall we?
Hell yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
We got a call from a longtime fan of the pod, Nofriendo, our Twitter friend and yours, even though his name is Nofriendo, at Nofriendo, give us a call. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Joey. Hey, Sean. It's Nofriendo. First time, long time. I'm talking to you on the bike because it's the only place I'm not embarrassed to be calling a podcast, but I've been really loving the Luka Doncic songs, and just got a couple more suggestions. The Luka of Love to the tune of the ABC song Look of Love, and Now You're Messing with Luka Doncic as opposed to Son of a Bitch. Anyway, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Nofriendo. He had a lot to say about the Luka Doncic songs and some pretty funny suggestions. But I gotta say, Nofriendo, in response, you don't control us. Only Sean controls which Luka Doncic songs he does, right?
Yeah, and which ones are destined to, again, become viral.
We're
going to
go
hits.
So fucking viral.
That's the
dude.
Most important thing in basketball writing these days.
I just want to wear wigs, man. Mm-hmm. Give me a reason to wear some wigs.
Yeah.
Give me a reason to Trae Young. That's my. I'm writing Trae Young parody songs behind your back, by the way.
Oh, my God. What a rivalry we've developed on this podcast.
Tracy Chapman themed, though, actually. I also have You got a Trae Young, I don't answer that matter. It's pretty good, right?
Remember when you were driving in the lane.
Yeah, that one actually originally was a Kevin Herder parody song, but I changed it.
I gotta say, we have not had as many spins on the most recent song, so check it out on the SoundCloud.
Look, there's a lot of stuff. We put up a lot of options, but we have more reader mail, and I want to introduce a special segment. There's a reader out there. His name was Shot Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
It is now Ninja Purtle, and his God-given name is David Jordan. And he writes us, I'm going to say, are the emails that give us the most meat on the bone, I would say, right?
Yeah, so, a lot of good, like the questions are, he's not jerky, but his questions are like jerky, because there's a lot to chew on, and he has a dry wit.
So, without further ado, here's a new segment.
Now, at Guard from North Carolina, you know him from What GM is What Sex Scene? And What Owners Should Karaoke What Songs? The King Questioner himself, at Ninja Pertil on Twitter, formerly Shot Daddy, aka Don Nelson, but Shot Daddy in our hearts. Here he is, the goat of reader mail, David Jordan.
All right. So we got two questions from David Jordan. We actually got three, but I'm saving. We have two in the barrel. We have four David Jordan questions, but there were two I wanted to answer tonight. So the first one, Sean. David says, one thing we've learned is that cash considerations is a favorite prospect of the Chicago Bulls upper management. In an all-time money-saving maneuver, the Bulls cancel all halftime entertainment for the last few home games of the season, and instead force the players and coaches to come out during halftime and entertain the crowd. Who performs, and what do they do for their halftime show?
So I'm thinking Bobby Portis is just out there, like, breaking bricks. Mm-hmm. Like, and he doesn't even know karate. He just punches them.
Mm-hmm.
And they shatter. And then, like, he runs out of bricks pretty quickly, but he's still got 8 minutes. And then he's just, like, mean mugging individual members of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no music. It's just silent, and it's incredibly awkward.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. My number one is, I think, Jim Boylan just makes them come out and do military-style push-ups, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Just
just they have to run suicides. Mm-hmm. And that's entertainment. The only better entertainment is reruns of Family Feud.
I also think, like, there's a point when Jabari Parker's trying to do a Red Panda-style act with the unicycle and the plates, and he just can't even ride the unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, crashing into things and falling down. But he's still, like, demanding more and more plates every time. And you're like, you're not even in shape for this. Why are you dominating this halftime show like that? And he's like, I don't care about defending myself. That's not my job. My job is to put up plates.
Another thing I think would happen for sure. I think I said this on the air one time. I might have said it on Take It or Break It. But if there's one thing I know about the Chicago Bulls roster, it's that Zach LaVine comments on Pornhub videos. He just has that vibe. And I think for sure we see he comes out and just shows us his process of, like, what he would write for each video. It's edited, of course, because it's a family affair. But then he just has to
like summarize what it is. Like, oh, this girl can't make rent.
Yeah.
So this girl is, like, her first time coming in. She thinks she's auditioning for a regular commercial, but then, you know. And then I would say, show me that ass. I don't know.
Whatever you would say. The other thing, obviously, is Gar Foreman and Jim Paxson would come out painted silver and do that thing that those weird flexible, like, balancing twins do.
But they're, like, balancing on each other, and they're, like, twins, but they're also maybe gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, I think Reinsdorf is cheap enough to actually make Paul Konerko come out and just, like, just long toss.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's throwing t-shirts into the crowd, but they're, like, White Sox t-shirts, and you're like, are these Adam LaRoche jerseys? And
no, Ryan's they're Drake,
like, they're leftover. Yeah. They're Drake
LaRoche just left them behind.
I would probably buy a Drake LaRoche jersey.
I 100% would.
No, I've said it.
All right,
LaRoche Yeah.
David Jordan had a suggestion. He said, my guess is that Campaign definitely gets bullied into having to perform, and he does Fortnite dances.
You know, I think that's good. What I'm going to say is he doesn't need to be bullied to go out there and do Fortnite dances. He'd be so much happier doing that than playing basketball on the court.
Oh, for sure. Campaign, I think, is the NBA player I could most see being the first guy to retire from the NBA to just become like a trampoline dunker during half times during the NBA. You know what I mean? Just like one of those mascot sidekicks that doesn't wear a costume, but throws out the t-shirts and dunks on the trampoline and like runs around with a sign that says, make some noise.
I mean, I've only heard really good things about him personally. I just wish he was better at basketball. He has a good player's name too. But
I think he'd be a better player if his name was Cameron, not Cam, though.
Oh well, I mean, his name is, but if you
yeah, but if you went by Cameron, yeah,
yeah, I guess that's right. Well, Campaign is like, it feels like a weird portmanteau. You know what I mean?
Campaign feels like a guy who was good in the NCAA tournament and then is not good in the NBA to me.
And as I've said before, champagne and campaign means you go out and party with Jalen Rose and then you get a DNP coach's decision the next day. But not because you're hungover, just because the coach wants to see what Shaq Harrison can give you.
All right. And David Jordan's second question tonight is, one thing we know for sure is that the Dallas Mavericks do not currently have a jersey sponsor. Let's assume Kentucky Fried Chicken swoops in for that sponsorship, with part of the deal being that Mavericks players, coaches, and of course, enemy of the pod, Mark Cuban, thank you, David, will appear in a series of television commercials. Please assess the relative merits of any significant Mavs personnel with regards to their ability to portray Colonel Sanders.
Okay, let me tell you this right now, that Mark Cuban's going to be really bad.
He's going to be fucking horrible. Dirk will be the second best.
Dirk will be the best. I'll just say like,
no, he's second best. I think there's a person on this roster that's better than Dirk.
That's a better Dirk. Yeah. Well, what do you imagine Dirk's performance is like? I think he's like very committed, like wig, full beard, and just like, yeah, you know, you have to just try these biscuits.
Okay,
they're very
good.
Do
you think Dirk's, because the Colonel Sanders all kind of have themes, you know, where it's like tan Colonel Sanders is like,
yeah,
the barbecue chicken one or whatever. What is Dirk's Colonel Sanders hawking?
I think it would be a lot of tall stuff for him. So if they've got any extended box.
Yeah, like of a stuff, really tall popcorn chicken box.
And it would just, yeah, it would talk about like, yeah, maybe it's like mashed, but like all the stuff is just in like a rectangular box and it's extra long. And I think that's what Dirk is talking about. Like, yeah, come in from distance. And like, and he's like standing at the 3-point line and the box actually goes all the way to the basket or something.
Okay. So I think there's someone on here who's going to be better than Dirk, but it's a little bit, it would rile up, I think, some internet conservatives.
Okay.
And that is DeAndre Jordan in drag from the Hoopers as Colonel Sanders.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're like, why is he in drag? And they're like, he's just more comfortable acting this way.
Yeah, well, his thing is like, fried chicken is a construct, you know.
Oh,
it's like the double down. It's for the double down is back. And it's like, you know, chicken can be bred too, just like men can dress as women.
I could also see him like going for something where they just like beat the shit out of a piece of fried chicken and throw it in there, and he's at that dilapidated house that he and Chris Paul co-owned in those commercials. Yeah.
Where Damian Lillard was constantly there ruining their house.
Yeah. I could see Harrison Barnes doing like
He's playing the clarinet or the saxophone or whatever.
I think he's doing like a very accurate historical impression of Colonel Harlan Sanders. Like he's like looking at the tapes and he's like getting the mannerisms down. Like I think he's like a student of the game. Cause like he loves stand up comedy, so he's just like, I got some big shoes to fill here.
I think they're going to musical with Harrison. His talent, he likes to show it off.
He's pretty bad, saxophone. Though.
He's really, but you know, you fix that in post. We're filming a TV commercial.
What do you think J.J. Barea's attitude is?
Oh, I think he's very good.
And I think he's like a spicy chicken.
See, and I was going to say, I think it's something to do with like pick and rolls. Like, you pick your own like boxes.
It's a chicken and a roll, the chicken roll.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you pick four things and that's your meal or whatever. And they're like, and one of them's a roll, I guess.
I feel like they would try to explore. Like, I feel like KFC is probably kind of a racist company, and they'd be like, "He has a Latino name, spicy chicken. Oh, that hot Puerto Rican temper." And people are like, "What? That's not a thing." And
Luca would be very bad.
Yeah, he's not. But the problem is that, like, he looks like he eats there too much, and you don't want that from your guy. Also, he'd be like, they'd have to introduce some, like, horrible Slovenian item where it's like, yeah, we took the chicken and we pickled it. Mm-hmm. You're like, what? Why would you? It's like, finally, sauerkraut in a KFC meal.
You know what I think they should do, though, actually, to tie it all together?
What's that?
They should have Dirk and Luca together, and they're like mirror. It's like, it's Dirk looking in the mirror and staring back as Luka Doncic as Colonel Sanders. You know what I mean?
I could also see them just going for like Rick Carlisle as a literal colonel. Like, he's not Colonel Sanders in the fun, like, mm-hmm. bolo tie thing. He's a member of the U.S. military. He's a sergeant. He's yelling at you to eat chicken. And he's already walking off disgustedly.
He would be very bad.
Yeah, because he'd just be like, you eat here. It's not nutritious, but it's better than freaking Wendy's.
I think he might be worse than Cuban, actually.
Cuban's, I mean, he would care a lot less. Cuban would be worse, I think, because he would give it 100%.
Yeah, Cuban would at least try and have fun with it.
Carlisle would just be like, well, I have 4.5 minutes to shoot this entire commercial. Get it done.
You know who I think would also be good? Don't forget, he's on the Mavs. He's in the G League right now, but Giannis's brother, Kostas. Yeah. You know, you kind of have him piggyback on Giannis's tweets.
Like, it's like what's the freak gonna eat?
Yeah, except the joke is that Kostas only eats Kentucky Fried Chicken. He won't try any other foods because it's too good. Dwight Powell would be bad.
Would they have like a colonel outfit that could fit him?
Oh, for sure. They tailor those.
Oh, yeah. So him being a giant with massive arms wouldn't matter.
No. You know who I think would be very good? I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an assistant coach who I think might shoot straight to the top here.
Are
top
you saying
three.
Daryl Armstrong?
Daryl Armstrong would be excellent be really Colonel too. Sanders.
Yeah. You know, he's like a scrappier Colonel Sanders that got ignored for a while, and he like built his way up to be the leader of that company. What do you think his food item would be?
Scraps.
Yes.
They're selling chicken scraps. And finally, of course, the worst member of the Dallas Mavericks at being Colonel Sanders and at being a person is, of course, Pants DJ. He would be the worst Colonel Sanders.
Where they're like, and his slogan is just, that's not ranch.
Gross. All right. That's been David Jordan's questions. As always, Email us more. Yeah. Round Rock Pod.
DeAndre's brother David.
Yeah.
That's good.
Michael's son.
He's the Michael Jordan of our reader.
But now it's time for the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right. Our first news story, Sean. I don't know anything about this story, so you might want to... I'm going to be honest. I don't know a lot about any of these news stories today. I was indisposed. But a Sacramento Kings executive stole $14 million from them, and he's going to jail.
Yeah, he's going to jail. So this
but only for 2 years.
So the story is... this guy named Jeffrey David, who used to be the chief revenue officer for the Kings, and actually, at the time of his arrest, was working for the Miami Heat. Basically,
Don't steal from Pat Riley, dude.
Yeah, so he stole $9 million from the Golden One Credit Union, and then another $4.5 million from Kaiser Permanente, and he used it to buy beachfront property in Southern California, which, because of the beachfront property element, that is... He's officially a supervillain because that is a Lex Luthor style scheme.
Did he think there was no extradition in Miami?
Maybe that was it. He's like, people are always like, yeah, it's like another country there. And he's like another country. Am I officially an ambassador? Do I have diplomatic immunity because I'm visiting from the Sacramento Kings? Anyway, he finally got sentenced. He's going to prison for 2 years.
That doesn't seem like enough time for $14 million.
Well, you know who else said that was podcast host Nate Duncan, lawyer.
Oh my
God. Lawyer Nate Duncan said that. And,
do you think he's now plotting to steal $14 million from an NBA franchise?
Let me just give you his quote on this one. It was, "It's absolutely amazing that stealing $14 million only gets a 2 year prison sentence. Doesn't seem like much of a deterrent. A lot of dudes would go to prison for 2 years to get $14 million." That's
true.
You
know who one of those dudes is for sure? Nate Duncan. You can tell in his tone.
Look, man, I mean, if he could podcast from the prison, would it be that different? He loves working out.
I mean, it would be pretty funny if Dunked Ons were recorded Mac Dre style from a jail phone.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Accepting collect calls from prison. So tight, dude.
The key is he didn't get to keep the money. When you get caught for that, they make you give it back.
Well, but Nate would hide it better, you know?
I guess so. I mean, he was already laundering the money. But
Nate would know Betterman. Would know where to hide hide his embezzled money.
Now, do you think, because this was such a sophisticated, he definitely looks like a guy who would embezzle millions and millions of dollars, by the way. Was the robot involved? It said he used sophisticated financial instruments to do this.
No, that robot wouldn't be there if he was. That robot would be going to robot prison, right?
Well, I mean, maybe the robot is. Maybe they only talked about the human convicts at this time.
What I will say is it does, knowing this story that the Kings were out $14 million, it does now make a lot more sense why they were the first pro sports franchise to mine Bitcoin.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, do you think this guy spearheaded it? I think it might be pretty likely.
See, I was thinking Vivek spearheaded it, and that's how he's hiding. He's like, we can make it back in crypto.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that he's like, oh, where'd this money go? And we must have just lost it in the crypto market. We got good money after bad. I bet Vivek is like, no, you have to chase bad money with good. That's the only way it works. Like, he misunderstood the aphorism. My other question is, will the FBI be able to prosecute Sam Hinkie for stealing all those picks from them?
It's a really good joke, Sean.
Thank you.
You probably should have tweeted that. Can I saw a pretty amazing King's fact that doesn't have anything to do with this today. Can I just read it to you real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
That the Sacramento Kings have, in the last 10 years, only been over 500 for 86 days.
Wait, repeat that one more time.
All right.
Because that's incredible.
For the past decade, the Sacramento Kings have only been over 500 for 86 days in the entire decade.
86 days out of 3,653 yes. days. And
thank you to Tom Haberstroh. That was your big number today, but yeah, still.
And the impressive thing is they start every year at 500.
Yeah.
Like, none of that carries over. They get a clean slate. My God. So are you saying that makes me feel like, not that I thought so before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, Joey.
No, I don't think so either. But look, they're looking up. You know, they're going to sign Willie Cauley-Stein to a really bad deal this summer.
Look, every day they stay above 500 is a goddamn miracle.
Yeah.
Now that we've learned that, like, they could be over 500 for the remainder of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. If they start, when do you think the last time they started a calendar year above 500 was? It's got to be like 10
years. Our test year or whatever. Right.
But even then, they like, I think they might have been under 500 on January 1st. I mean, we could also look this up, but
they had like 1 year where John Sammons was really good, remember?
I guess so.
All right. Yeah. Our next piece of news. Spencer Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets point guard. Signed a contract extension today for 3 years and $34 million.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, and as any listener knows to this podcast, everyone knows that Joey Devine likes Spencer Dinwiddie, with the exception of one thing, and that's his goatee and hair combo make him look like he's like a spy undercover on like the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, let's just take a moment and the Nets have the worst. They have the worst hair overall on their roster than any basketball team, and I think it's not particularly close.
Yeah. Damari Carroll, all time bad hair.
Damari Carroll. D'Angelo Russell seems like he's making a lot of bad decisions with his hair.
His whole style is
Jared Allen, I like the spirit of his hair, but I don't think it looks very good.
His mustache is good though.
Allen Crabb, also an all-time bad NBA hair guy for years running. You know, this is like, you know, when you're like picking an all-star, your tiebreaker is their career. Allen Crabb, bad hair even in college.
Joe Harris looks terrible.
His is very bad. Joe Harris was the one that made me think, really bad. Start looking at the rest of the roster as like, oh my God.
Joe Harris looks like someone who got kicked out of like the Arcade Fire.
Well, yeah, when
because he didn't dress nicely to their concerts.
When you see Joe Harris, like, if you just look at his stature, like, wow, why was everybody sleeping on this guy? And then you look at his hair and you're like, oh yeah, that's why. People.
He looks sweaty before the game starts.
He looks like he's guilty. That's what his hair looks like. Jared Dudley, also not wonderful hair, I would say.
No, but he's old. You know, like...
Yeah.
No,
what are you gonna do? But yeah, just bad hair team. So Dinwiddie...
good seems player.
Like, yeah. And the third year is a player option. Yeah. So he has the option of becoming a free agent at age 28.
He will be opting out of that deal at $12 million.
Almost certainly, I think. Yeah. But, you know, it's like it seems like a pretty fair contract.
Yeah, because here's the thing about Spencer Dinwiddie and the thing about the Nets in general. NBA Twitter and, like, weird analytics people are all stoked about the Nets all the time. But they're still bad. And if Spencer Dinwiddie is your starting point guard in the NBA, he's like, you know, he's not a top 15 NBA point guard, right?
He's worth
the new Darren Collison.
He's worth like $12 million a year, which is, you know, what he's getting.
Good job. But he was also cut by two teams like 2 years ago. So,
yes.
Spencer Dinwiddie, you did it.
Well, and it's also like, okay, so what has been a big weakness of the Detroit Pistons recently? I would say guard play.
Yeah,
I would say they had a little trouble with their guards. And 2 years ago, he was traded by the Pistons to the Bulls for a 26-year-old Australian who then immediately went and played in Australia, where he still is.
What's that guy's name?
It's something Barstow.
Okay.
Cameron Barstow, I think.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
And then the Bulls released him after that. And the Bulls point guards right now are Ryan Archaeopteryx, the feathered dinosaur, Champagne and Campaign, and no, not that Shaq, way worse. Yeah,
Lil Shaq. Whew.
Yeah, but he's not. I don't think this Shaq Harrison is a cop, though. So
you know what? No, I don't think so either. You know, what Spencer Dinwiddie was probably pretty good at too. Running suicides.
Yeah, that's probably it's true. He's probably great at it, actually. Also, we've heard nice things about him helping out like the team operations staff in Detroit. Everybody in Detroit really liked him. Yeah. So I'm glad he's getting paid, man.
Yeah. Cool guy. All right. I think our next story, this is probably the one we'll talk about the most. Robert Sarver, the terrible owner of the Phoenix Suns, who's been skating for a while because of like Bulls and T-Wolves drama.
Right.
threatened to move the Suns if Phoenix doesn't build them a stadium.
Yeah, so basically what happened was,
and their stadium is pretty new, right? Isn't Talking Stick pretty new?
They renovated it in 2003.
Okay. So it does probably need an upgrade.
Maybe. I mean, it's a building that got renovated 15 years ago.
But
I don't
also,
know how
you know what?
Often
people would fucking go see your team more if they weren't fucking horrible.
Well, it's not, they don't even have a problem with attendance, I don't think. He just wants money. So this has happened a couple times. Most notably recently, the Atlanta Braves just, you know, bribed some city council guys and they
didn't
just
the
like
Bucks make Milwaukee give them a ton of money for that new place that looks like a fucking Sonos too.
Maybe. I know the Braves basically just bought some city councilmen and they just like within a week passed a incredibly expensive stadium thing in Cobb County, and all those guys have been voted out, but the Braves have their free stadium. So they basically like introduced this thing within the last week, which was the city of Phoenix was going to give Robert Sarver $150 million for arena renovations. The city paid $150 million. The team was going to kick in $80 million. And the thing the city got was that the team committed to staying through 2037, and there was a $200 million penalty for them moving before then.
Mm-hmm.
But they're giving them $150 million. So, you know, that doesn't seem like that much. So once they announced it, he had like four of the seven city councilmen lined up. But once news came out, everyone in Phoenix was like, no. Never, don't do that. And one councilman flipped his vote. So they were going to vote on it this week, but the mayor pushed it back a month because it was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Terps right now, they are on the 26th, I guess they're on their 26th year in this building. They're on a 40-year lease. And apparently a clause is that they can leave as early as 2022 if the arena is considered obsolete, which I'm very curious at who gets to define what obsolete means in terms of a building.
Can Phoenix make them leave if they don't have a point guard by 2022?
It feels like it's not. Is there any point when the Phoenix Suns had less leverage to do this?
No.
They've basically been competitive since the mid-70s, every single year until the last 4 years.
Yeah.
When the team has just been driven into a ditch. This year, Robert Sarver fired his GM after allowing him to run the draft and make free agent decisions.
And sign Trevor Ariza for $16 million or whatever.
Draft DeAndre Ayton over Luka Doncic, and trade a first round pick to get Mikal Bridges. Just a lot of stuff was entrusted to him, and still end up without a point guard. Mm-hmm. Somehow, no point guard. So what happened was they pushed it back, but everybody came to the city council meeting, and people were allowed to still give comments, and it was just a string of people shitting on Robert Sarver. Just fantastic. I'm going to read this woman's comment that she said. This is just an excerpt. The whole thing's great. Check out the video. Miss Rogers from Phoenix. Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or bought, paid for two or three key players, which make any professional sports team successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's such a sick burn.
And from like an old lady, too.
You know what? I'm going to pull that audio. Actually,
yeah,
let's
good.
Play it right now.
It's your turn, baby. 45 seconds. Let this motherfucker feel it. All right? Yo, DJ, spin that shit.
This is Chicago politics at its worst, and it has a very foul odor. And we are not in the business of funding private enterprise. I don't care what it is. Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks.
So the other thing that happened was the official Phoenix Suns Twitter account went like full MAGA post-truth. And let me find the thing that they actually tweeted today. It was like very embarrassing and like very just like not what you expect from like a team.
Yeah, they tried to keep searching. I'll explain it. They tried to fake news the story. Because Sarver, he only threatened to move and did not name city specifically. Because in Mark Stein's story, he said that Sarver was threatening to move them either to Las Vegas or Seattle. Mm-hmm. Which, congratulations, Las Vegas and Seattle. You are going to be the ghosts for rich people to rip off taxpayers for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Silver doesn't fucking do something about it. And just give you the teams everyone literally wants you to have.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's it feels like, okay, so here's their tweet. It says, the truth comes out, quote, one Phoenix City Council member, meanwhile, backed away from his earlier comment to me that Suns owner Robert Sarver told him he would go to Seattle or Las Vegas if arena deal isn't approved, which is them just basically hashtag fake news. Mm-hmm. And basically they talked about moving somewhere else in Arizona as well. And,
Scottsdale?
Yeah. the council member said Robert Sarver didn't actually say Las Vegas and Phoenix, but he made it clear that Robert Sarver was going to move. So, okay, he didn't specifically say Las Vegas or Seattle, but where else is he talking about?
What a super cool dude, dude.
Oh, I was just going to move to Tucson.
Mm.
Or maybe Santa Fe.
The Suns should let him move the Suns, but keep the name. And, like, he can just take the players, and they can play with all the players whose draft picks that he sold off of. That's, like, their new roster.
Yeah, so the quote was, if you guys are not going to vote for this, let me go. Just let me go somewhere else. I want out. If you're not going to build my stadium, then I want out. And he said he did not specifically name Phoenix or Las Vegas, but that was my
Seattle
understanding.
Seattle or Las Vegas.
Seattle or Las Vegas. But that was my understanding.
Hmm.
So, cool. And then the Sun CEO said, no, we're just looking for a different city in Arizona, which I don't think they're looking for somewhere else in the Valley because they're going to move to Glendale. Come on. Like, yeah. Phoenix is the city.
Yeah.
The truth comes out.
Anyway, Robert Sarver, go fuck yourself.
Yelling at an intern, an unpaid intern who had to tweet that out.
Yeah, all billionaires are bad, and guess what, Robert Sarver, you're not a billionaire, but you're bad too.
Yeah. Bam. Guy sucks, dude. Like how ballsy is it to do that now though? Like, you were the worst team in the league last year. You were terrible the year before. You keep getting high lottery picks and blowing them, and yet this is the point where you're like, just let us out of our lease, man. We only have 14 years left on the lease, but
it's like,
better give us $150 million because I will invest none of that into the team.
It's like they made this plan 5 years ago and are just sticking to it, where it's like they wrote in like 5 years from now Dragan Bender and Marquise Chriss, they'll be taking the league by storm. We'll have our big three.
Brandon Knight, Marquise Chriss, and Dragan Bender. And can you imagine people, like, they would hate to see Dragan Bender in a Las Vegas Suns uniform.
The Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah.
Really kill it.
It would be funny if they went to the rainiest city in America and kept the name the Suns.
Yeah. That'd be some real old sports shit.
Yeah.
But also, NBA, fucking just put a team in Seattle already. No, don't put your fans through this bullshit. Yeah.
Put the Orlando Magic there.
Yeah.
Specifically.
In fact, I've said this before.
But first, strip the DeVoses from the ownership position. That's the other thing.
I've said this before. Here's how you fix your conferences. Uh-huh. You move two brand new teams or two shitty East teams to the West, and then you move the fucking Pelicans and the Grizzlies to the East. Because those teams are not, they're not in the Western parts of the United States.
I mean, isn't Memphis really the one that needs to move? Isn't New Orleans, like, pretty close to Houston?
Yes, but it's still, like, for parity's sake, you move Anthony Davis into the Eastern Conference is partly why.
Well, he's moving into the Eastern Conference, baby, in exchange for Terry Rozier, a lottery-protected 76ers pick, Aaron Baines, and Semi Ojeleye.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up
Danny Ainge's top offer.
I'm glad you brought up our friends, the Boston Celtics, because first off, we say a lot of bad things about the Celtics all the time on this podcast. But we should probably mention that they've been really good lately. They've won like 8 games in a row. So congratulations. The way you fixed your team is by having a bunch of guys hurt.
Yeah.
Because you had too many guys. But most importantly, I found this story. Sean, I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have not.
But do you remember Celtics' troubled rookie Robert Williams?
Yes, he missed, I think, the team's initial conference
he's
call
late and to everything
to Summer League. Yeah. But he's playing now, right?
Yeah, and he's playing well. But There was a story today on masslive.com, my favorite website, about how Celtics fans have given Robert Williams the nickname Time Lord.
Like Doctor Who?
Yeah, proving once again that Boston Celtics, or the organization, and also now their fans, are incapable of having sex because they've nicknamed him after a Doctor Who character.
Oh, yeah, after calling Isaiah Thomas the King in the Fourth, the most strained Game of Thrones reference possible. And also the description of a guy who was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why that happened to Isaiah. Oh, actually, yeah. The reason they called Isaiah Thomas the King in the Fourth, like Robb Stark from Game of Thrones, is that Danny Ainge was about to stab him in front of his whole family.
So I have a quote here from the Boston Celtics fan that gave him the nickname Time Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, quote, so we started joking that he wasn't late. He was operating on a different timeline concurrent to the one we are in, as evidenced by the fact that I knew he was a Celtic 2 years ago before he was a Celtic. It was a long thing about how, anyway. And we would do it with people taking themselves really seriously, and they'd get very mad at us for thinking they were too uptight. So from here, he became a Time Lord, like the characters in Doctor Who, whose time travel can tie together terrible holes in the plot of a shoddy script.
Oh, my God. Here's something I want to say, just to all the fans in Boston. I know this is not for our interest, but you're spending too much time thinking about your sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read a book. You need to, like... read a book and like expand things. Don't,
and not Harry Potter.
No, not Harry Potter. Like read like a book for grownups. It doesn't even have to be like a serious book, but just something that will keep you from calling talk radio.
Yeah, be like Bob Cousy and read a Ta-Nehisi Coates book.
Yeah, your hero, because he's the greatest white Celtic of his generation. Obviously, you guys can't get completely behind Bill Russell because you're like, oh, are they going to make me bus my children to talk to a black person? No. Just go to the library, read a book. Like, stop pretending you're predicting what college player is going to end up on. Oh.
So
also,
anyway.
You don't have any magical powers as a crowd in any of your venues.
So they asked Robert Williams if he's seen them call him the nickname Time Lord. And I've got to say, I was not high on Robert Williams because of all the lateness stuff. And he's like a traditional center in 2018 until I read this quote. Here's what he said. Always, instead of calling me Robert, they call me Time Lord, but I don't know where that shit came from. Which, to me, proves that Robert Williams does not watch Doctor Who, and that is a positive checkmark in the Robert Williams might be a good NBA player box.
Brad Stevens is going to eventually bench him when he realizes that the reason he's late to everything is that he's too busy fucking. You know what I mean? Like, I could make it to practice on time, or I could finish getting my fuck on.
He also had a quote where they asked him if he liked it. And he said, I fuck with it. It's cool. I'm probably going to have 20 other nicknames. I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of people saying it. I think it'll stick when the coaching staff starts calling me that. And I will say...
Well, actually, there is a chance that will happen.
That's what I was going to say. Normally, this would not stick with a regular coaching staff, but fucking virgin nerd Brad Stevens, for sure. He might call him like a specific Time Lord. He might be like, oh, you're like the fifth Doctor Time Lord.
He would say that, but he would not actually call him Time Lord, because I'm pretty sure that Brad Stevens only thinks there's one Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yes, of course. Now, question for you, Sean. Uh-huh. Do you think Danny Ainge thinks this is a good nickname?
No, because there's no way Danny Ainge watches Doctor Who. Like,
Like, so they asked him about it on some Boston
Danny
radio
Ainge
show.
Danny Ainge is a dork. Let's just say this. Like, Danny Ainge, questionable morally, stabbing his players in the back. Not a dork, though.
So they asked Danny Ainge on some Boston radio station today if this is a good nickname. And Danny Ainge said, that's a bad name. I would not take credit for that. And they said, you don't like the Time Lord nickname, Danny? And he says, I don't. No. I think we can do better. And then he went on Twitter and suggested an even worse nickname. Would you like to know what it is?
This is what Danny Ainge suggested?
Yes, on Twitter.
What?
He suggested the nickname Lob Williams.
I mean, that's still better than Time Lord.
Is it, though?
Well, it's like
but when you read it, it's too close to Lou Williams, who is an actual player in the NBA.
But like Lob Williams is like a nickname a guy could have had in the 70s.
But here's the nickname it should be, if we want that. Go straight up. He goes by Robert Williams. Call him Lobert Williams. You know what I mean?
No, that's worse. Lob Williams sounds like an ABA guy who dies of a drug overdose.
So my question, though, is can you top Danny Ainge's nickname? It has to be in the style. It has to be something Danny Ainge would like.
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, obviously, I think he might go with Tanner to replace his excommunicated, disinherited son, the failed congressional candidate from Utah. Danny Ainge already ruined his career by signing Gordon Hayward. Doesn't love that son. Okay, so wait, does it have to be in the genre of Lob Williams, or does it have to be in the genre?
Just a nickname, that Danny Ainge would like. That's all you need.
Okay, hang on. I gotta just open up something.
I think we're doing the same thing right now.
Yeah, and I think we'll see what
here's I think his nickname should be. It should be Frontega Chicken Signature Panini.
That's pretty good.
That's from his favorite restaurant, Panera Bread.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know what? Another good nickname for him? Napa Almond Chicken Salad.
I think you might just call him Guac Williams.
You know what, though? If his name is going to be Guac, it should be Guac is $2 extra Williams.
Well, I mean, I think it probably is $2 extra because there's a late fee. Let's see, is there anything new? No, they say process a lot. I feel like this might be the Celtics-Sixers rivalry.
What about barbacoa, sofrito, cilantro, lime brown rice burrito, please?
It's not bad. I mean, I could say it kind of rolls off the tongue. It's still better than Time Lord.
By the way, there's no way Danny Ainge gets guacamole at Chipotle.
I don't think that's the case.
He's way too cheap. He's not, because listeners, first off, I want to talk about Chipotle real quick. Chipotle sucks. Don't go there. That's not Mexican food.
I don't really like it.
Also, guacamole is like $2 there. And that is asinine. You can make guacamole for like 75 cents.
It's also not that good.
No, and they put too much of it on there because they're charging so much. It fucks up the burrito. Yeah, Chipotle sucks. Don't go there. All right. Anyway,
let me just suggest one alternate nickname real fast. Hold on, I'm just opening up the Panera Bread menu.
I'm on the Panera Bread menu. That's where I got his first two nicknames. Here's one. What about Southwestern Chicken Flatbread Williams?
I mean, it's not bad. Kind of rolls off the tongue. Also, this name could catch on. Artisan Ham Williams.
Okay, I'm decreeing that right now, officially. Anytime we mention Robert Williams on this podcast, he is now Artisan Ham Williams.
Artisan Ham Williams, okay.
Do you want to hear some other... Actually, I don't want to do that. I think that's been our show, Sean. Is there anything you want to plug?
Come to the Punchline December 20th through the 22nd in San Francisco. You can check out the Everything Report live at Sketchfest on Wednesday, January 23rd, and I will have a sports naughty or nice list coming out on Yard.
Who's the naughtiest? As always.
Well, Jim Boylan made the list.
Oh, tight.
The 76ers, the Washington Redskins, reliever Hunter Strickland, and then actually, this is kind of funny. These guys, Corey Johnson and Eddie Green, who are the CEO and coach, respectively, of a track club called the Newark Flames.
Mm-hmm.
And they founded a track meet called the Brick City Invite.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fake meet. What do you mean it was fake? They just publicized it and entered the results for like six high schools, but the meet never happened. And so, like, the people from their track club all had these, like, really good personal records that qualified them for other track meets. And then one of the other schools was like, not only did we not compete in the Brick City Invite, we actually hosted a track meet at our school that day. And so they were disgraced.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also,
their fake track meets were the Brick City Invite and the Brick City Invitational.
As for me, I recorded three Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcasts today, so I think I'm going to be on, like, all month.
You're officially a co-host of that podcast, right? How many times, is that, like, your seventh appearance on that show?
Well, if we did three today, six, yeah. So, yeah, if you want to hear me talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on the very funny Joe Quazala and Kristen Studdard's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame podcast, subscribe to that, and I'll be on a lot. I got up at 6:30 this morning so we could get the inductions came out today. We could talk about it right away. Congratulations to The Cure. But other than that, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 6/19/14 I tweeted, "There's nothing worse than flying across the country and then having to wait over an hour for mom to pick me up because she was vacuuming."
Yeah, sorry she was cleaning the house to make it nice for you, Frankie. You're a goddamn millionaire.
Sean,
get a cab.
Sean, did you write another Luka Doncic song?
I did. This one's from the perspective of Dallas Mavericks GM Don with two N's Nelson. Trust the process, TM.
Oh, trust the TM, process. Don't TM sue Marcus, us, Marcus Lemonis. And shut it down. Let's not move the Suns anywhere.
I saw him at a club called Real Madrid, where you drink sangria and it tastes just like a sambuca. S-A-M-B-U-C-A. He threw an alley-oop to Gustavo Ayon, then he stole the end zone's pass and the crowd as one chanted Luca. L-U-K-A, Luca. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, I'm not the world's most analytical guy, but the stat projections made me almost cry. Oh, my Luca. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why he dribbles like a pawn and rebounds like a big man. Oh, my Luca. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, Europe had Doncic mania. He dominated with Slovenia. I looked at x-rays of his injured knee and said, Atlanta Hawks, won't you trade picks with me? Well, I'm not the world's most creative exec, but his crossover dribble made me see success for my Luka. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luka. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luka. Luca, Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca, Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca.
called Travis Schlenk. He wanted Trae Young. I threw in a one. I pitched him the deal. So he picked a five and me a three. Well, that's the trade that I wanted to make, and it's already a steal. For goodness sake, I got Luka. Luka. Wings will be bigs and bigs will be wings. It's a modern positionless free ducko thing, especially Luka. Luka. I went to Hawaii to clear my head, and I've never been high cause I'm straight edge. But my dad smiled and handed me a joint and said, little boy, play Luka at point. Well, I'm not the world's most nationalist man, but Anthony Randolph is Slovenian, and so is Luka. 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 Luka.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.